Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. My name is Steph Seidel, and my guest this morning is Shauna McKinnon. She's stepping over into the Mix studio from 100.5 Cruise FM. She's usually on afternoons, and we thank you for your great voice in this community, Shauna.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be here, and always. I think this is a record 3 times in the past month and a half.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So our first chat we had actually was an interview you did with somebody about ticks in Alberta.
Yeah.
Then we've had you on chatting about MS. And this morning we want to chat again about MS, but also about the MS bike that took place over the weekend.
Right.
Why don't we start with saying, you know, these two initials seem like they're commonplace a lot of time, MS, but also, maybe you don't know what it means. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. So multiple sclerosis is the term for this illness, MS. We just call it MS, call it stupid sometimes too. Basically, it's a neurodegenerative disease. So it affects your central nervous system, and that includes your brain, your spinal cord, and your optic nerve.
Wow.
Right behind your eyeball. And any of those things can be affected by MS. So what happens is what they think happens, so this is all theoretical, but they really strongly believe it's autoimmune. So your body decides that it doesn't like some of the myelin that covers the nerves. And this myelin is a fatty tissue that protects and insulates the nerves, the optic nerve, the nerves in your brain, and the nerves in your spinal cord. And so what happens is that it gets eaten away and you end up with this little lesion or a scar, because sclerosis actually means scars, so many scars. So you're left with these little scars, and sometimes the body is want to heal itself. Mm-hmm. And so it tries to heal itself, but you end up with a little scar. So sometimes that can leave a permanent deficit to that nerve or that bundle of nerves. And this is sometimes where you end up with disability.
Wow.
And so because it's kind of random, and it can affect different parts of your brain or your spinal cord or your optic nerve, you can sometimes have loss of vision or tunnel vision, or you can have, say, the loss of the use of the right side of your body for a while, which is what happened to me initially.
Wow.
And I couldn't hold a pen, I couldn't write, couldn't feed myself because I'm right-handed, so trying to learn how to do everything with my left hand. Fortunately, in my case, those symptoms eventually went away, but I still have a slight deficit on the right side of my body. But everybody is different who has MS. We have a lot of things in common. That is that we have these lesions that occur in the central nervous system, and the body does try to heal itself again. But how we are able to heal depends on individuals, really. So there's varying degrees of MS as well. There's different types. There's relapsing remitting MS, which is the type that I have, where you have a course of remission where you're not affected by anything, you don't have any problems, and then you have a relapse or an attack, and that's where you perhaps lose the ability to, you know, pick things up with your right hand or hold them. You can't feel them. Or maybe you've got tingling or numbness in certain body parts. I've had 3 attacks over my lifetime, and I've had MS for 22 years. So
wow.
My first attack, as I mentioned, I lost the right side of my body, or lost the use of it for a short time. The second attack was about 1.5 years later, and I lost the use of the muscles on the left side of my face.
Wow.
Which was really weird, because I couldn't eat one bite and I was exhausted. I couldn't chew food, so I was eating SpaghettiOs and baby food for 2 weeks until it started to come back. I was also propping up my cheeks so that I could talk without a lisp, because I was a radio announcer, and it sounded really weird.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. My third attack was just a reoccurrence of the initial symptoms. And that, again, that was a very short-lived attack, only a couple of weeks. But another type of MS is secondary progressive, which is kind of, it frequently happens to people who have relapsing remitting. After a certain amount of time, you get into the secondary progressive stage where you can become more disabled and may require the use of a walker or a power chair or a wheelchair. And there's also primary progressive, which it's like Secretariat coming out of the starting gate. It just, bam, it hits you right away, and you know, it's very severe from the get-go, and you just don't get any better. With relapsing remitting, you have periods where you do get better, and you may go back to 100% ability. But with secondary progressive and primary progressive, you're not going to get back to that initial stage.
And so in saying that, with these three different types, it's kind of, there isn't really a way to say like a life expectancy or what your prognosis is when you're diagnosed with, especially what you have, as you said, that you've got 23 years under your belt?
22 and a half now. Yeah.
Wow.
So now when I was diagnosed, now this was, you know, 22 and a half years ago, life expectancy wasn't too much different for the average person with relapsing remitting. The problem is we don't know when you're first diagnosed, are you going to have, unless you're diagnosed with primary progressive, you don't know what your prognosis is going to be over your lifetime. So I was 34 at the time. And if I was going to live another 60 years normally, MS might take 5 years off my life. But if at, you know, if I hit 40 and I was diagnosed with primary progressive, I may only last until, say, 50, 60, or 70. So it's hard to say what the long-term prognosis is as far as lifespan. But initially, when I was diagnosed, they were saying that, you know, it only takes about 5 years off your life. It only takes, which is not...
It's still 5 years is 5 years.
Still 5 years is 5 years. Now they're saying that they're closing the gap. And part of that has to do with the number of treatments that are available for MS. And the whole thing about what most of the neurologists are saying now is that the earlier you treat MS, the better your long-term prognosis is. So if you hit it coming out of the gate with, you know, some good efficacious medicine therapy, you're going to have a relatively normal life and relatively normal lifespan.
Wow. So when I was little, I knew a lady who had MS, and she said one of the ways that she fights it off is that she runs 5 miles every day. Is that a thing? Is that still, you know, you're supposed to exercise and keep active, or is that just a regular maintenance of the body no matter who you are?
Well, again, as we learn more information, we change our approach to treating MS. And early on, up until, say, 15, 20 years ago, they were saying, you know, like, don't lead too active a lifestyle because you would get overheated, and heat is a big problem for people with MS. Because if you heat up the body, you slow down the nerve conduction.
Oh.
And because, again, you're taking that insulation off the nerves, and that causes the nerves to slow down in their sending the messages. So exercise was not a no-no, but it was, you know, kind of, you know, you don't want to push it too hard, don't overdo it, you don't want to tire yourself out, that sort of thing. But what they're finding now is that exercise of any sort is going to be, first of all, it's going to be good for you anyway. It's going to be good for your general health, but it is also proving beneficial to people with MS. And they're finding this with other neurological illnesses as well. So the idea, what I have been doing for the past 20 years, I've been cycling, I've been walking, I've been hiking, been trying to stay as active as I possibly can. And while I'm doing that, I'm doing mental exercises in my head. And this is just because I have such an interest in the brain, and I want to keep it working as best it can for as long as I can. This is what I do, and this works for me. It's not going to work for everybody else, but you do want to remain active. Even if, and I have been saying this for years, I've been screaming it from the rooftops, if you can only move your little finger, move it every day. Move it or lose it. And that's basically, I've known people who are in a wheelchair or a power chair. They literally cannot walk, but they can do... what's the word I'm looking for? Here's one of those moments. The brain's not working. Adjusted exercise, okay. And or adapted exercise. So you can do adaptive yoga, you can do adaptive swimming or other types of exercise. There are ways that you can, you know, you don't have to go out and run 5 miles a day. That works for your friend. What works for me is riding my bike, is going out in the woods and riding on my hybrid and hitting the trails and hiking and that sort of thing. That's what works for me. What works for somebody else is going to be different, but you really need to incorporate that activity in your life.
For sure. My guest this morning is Shauna McKinnon, an MS survivor. Can we call you that?
Warrior.
Warrior. I like it. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters. But when we come back, we're going to hear more from Shauna, more about MS, and more about the giant bike ride she took over the weekend. Stick around.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.4. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. In the studio with me, I have Shauna McKinnon, our friend over at our sister station, 100.5 Cruise FM.
Hello.
As well as our friend in fighting MS, an MS warrior. And we've been chatting about what multiple sclerosis is, but I wanted to ask, you had said that you got diagnosed when you were 34 years old. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can do to prevent this?
No.
No, it just hits you.
We don't, that's the problem. We don't know why it occurs. There seems to be a genetic component to it, but we don't know exactly what it is. Are people who are more susceptible to autoimmune diseases, are they more likely to get MS than somebody who is not susceptible to them? Because there are a number of genes and chromosomes involved, and it's way above my pay grade to understand that stuff. But so there is a genetic component, but we just don't quite understand it. There's an environmental component as well, because this seems to be a disease that, if not originating, it seems to be centered in Northern Europe. Hmm. And so when we look at Canada and what Canada is composed of people-wise, we've got a lot of ancestry from Northern Europe, whether that be Scandinavia or the Ukraine or, you know, France and Great Britain, especially very high incidence of MS in Scotland and Canada as well. And of course, we've got that heritage behind us. So there's that component. Where you grew up, if you grew up farther away from the equator, then you have a higher chance of getting it. What happens is that as you move away from the equator in both directions, north and south, you have a higher incidence of MS.
Wow.
So the highest incidence are in the very north and in the very, very south of the world.
And I read this morning 11 Canadians every day.
Every day. Man. Are diagnosed with MS. I think our case is like 340 per 100,000. I can't remember the exact ratio, but it's quite high.
For sure. And can you think back to that day when you were 34 and you were diagnosed? What did it feel like?
I thought it was a pinched nerve, because my now ex-husband and I had been on vacation. We'd been sleeping in different hotels, and so I figured different beds, different pillows, and maybe I twisted something, slept wrong. It was the middle of winter. I had bought new winter boots, and I was tripping over my right foot. I just figured I was just getting used to the boots, and so I really didn't know what it was. But once I finally got the diagnosis, it was like, whew, okay, because my initially I'm thinking, okay, have I had a stroke?
Hmm.
But it came on very gradually, and it wasn't sudden like a stroke. My second thought is it a brain tumor? And so I thought that was my biggest fear, was that it was a brain tumor, because I thought, if it's a stroke, I can survive a stroke. If it's a brain tumor, what are my chances? And so by the time I, you know, got to the hospital, had the MRI and spoke to the doctor afterwards, and they showed me the pictures and they said it was MS, I said, I can live with that, because I had friends who had MS. And so I thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
For sure. And now, 22 and a half years later, discovering more medications, things like that, is there a way to, I guess, educate yourself in the sense of like, oh, I'm having a hard time with something, it must be MS, or, you know, you said you want to like nip it in the bud right away, get it diagnosed and get treating it. Is there something you can do to kind of say like, oh, that clicks in my brain, I think maybe I'm experiencing the early onset?
Yeah. I'm going to say yes and no. Yeah, because if you tell people, if you give them a list of possible symptoms, well, then everybody has them. Okay.
True.
Everybody has, you know, depression at some point in their life. Everybody has problems with the dropsies. You drop things every once in a while, or forgetting words, or, you know, maybe you have tingling in your fingertips or your toes. And there are 100 different things that it could be. I had my boss in Halifax, after I was diagnosed, he kept coming to me every 6 months with a new symptom. And I kept telling him, Gary, just go see your doctor, get yourself to the neurologist. In my mind, I knew he had MS because he had all of these symptoms. They all lined up. And finally, after 2 years of this, And he delayed going and delayed going. He went to his doctor and saw a neurologist, and they did diagnose him with MS. And he said, did you know this was a symptom? I said, yes. He said, did you know that was a symptom? I said, yes. I said, why do you think I kept telling you to go to your doctor? I'm not a neurologist. I'm not an MD. I can't diagnose it. But it was pretty obvious to me from what, and of course, because I had been newly diagnosed only for a couple of years, I was reading a lot about it, and my interest was piqued, so I was absorbing all this information, and I was seeing it in him. And so you really have to look at your medical history. You have to look at your background. 10 years ago, maybe you had something wonky with your left foot, and it was, you know, really bad for a couple of days and really tingly or painful, and all of a sudden it got better and you were fine. And then maybe you had some vision problems in your right eye a couple of years later, and then maybe you had some bowel or bladder issues a couple of years after that. And so if you look at your medical history and you say, oh, well, this might have been the beginning of it way back here 10 years ago. So I can't say look out for any one thing in particular, because it's different for everybody. And as well, you know, that tingling in your left foot could have been a pinched nerve, or you could have, you know, hit your ankle on something or bruised it or whatever. The bladder and bowel issues could have been, you know, a UTI infection, for example. And the thing with your eye, you know, so I mean, there's a million different reasons why something can go wrong in the body. And so figuring out that it's MS requires a doctor looking at your complete medical history, as well as an MRI and neurological exams.
Wow. All right. My guest this morning is Shauna McKinnon. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters. But when we come back, we're going to hear about a giant bike ride that just happened a couple days ago and a giant amount of money raised for the MS Society.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. My guest this morning, MS warrior Shauna McKinnon. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
So, Shauna, you took a giant bike ride on Saturday, and yeah, you even convinced other people to do it with you.
I know. That's the amazing part. That's one of the amazing parts. So I've been doing MS bike rides for years now. I started in Nova Scotia 13, 14 years ago, and have been doing them ever since. And when I moved to Fort McMurray, of course, we have we have an MS Society office up here, but we don't really have a big population up here to do an MS bike ride. Mm-hmm. So I have been this would have been my fourth one this past weekend. I've been doing Leduc to Camrose and back for the past 4 years. So I did, the first year I did it, I joined a team down in Edmonton and I rode with them. And then I thought, you know what, and I came back and I had all these horror stories of how we had ridden from Leduc to Camrose in pouring rain and hail and thunder and lightning, because this was early June and it was horrendous. And they all said, that sounds fantastic, we want to do it. So a whole bunch of people wanted to do it. And as things evolved, it was ended up just me and the boss ended up doing it. And the next year we had somebody join us. And this year, because of the COVID-19, they're having virtual rides. So anybody can do a ride anywhere, anytime, any place, and they can raise awareness about MS and raise funds for the MS Society as well. So instead of going Leduc to Camrose, we said, well, let's have a little mini MS bike ride this weekend. So that's what we did. We went from the Discovery Center, the Oil Sands Discovery Center, to Gregoire Lake Provincial Park and back, which I thought was around 50 kilometers. Turns out it was 55.
I was going to say
55 or 60, long, depending on whose Google map you look at. So it was a little bit longer than we had planned, but still we made it and we all survived. The Leduc to Camrose ride is 190 kilometers.
Wow.
Now, I only ever say that I'm going to aim for 100 kilometers over 2 days, because I just can't do more than 50 a day. It's just, I don't have it in me anymore. And so we knew that doing it up here, we were just going to do a mini one, because we didn't want it to be, again, too big. And because of protocols, because of COVID-19, we didn't want to have a whole bunch of people riding mm-hmm. together and that sort of thing. So we just kind of kept our little bubbles, me and Andrew and Chris and Brianne, who are married, so they have their own little bubble. So and we had a couple other people join us as well. So there were six of us all together.
Awesome. And so how did it feel when you returned back after being triumphant of completing this?
I was sore. I was very sore. And I'm still sore today. Not as bad as I had expected to be. I really, when I was done, like I was like, I need to just go home now. But I couldn't. I had to drive. Well, I blew out my tire.
Oh, no.
So I had to walk the last kilometer because the tire blew at the intersection of 69 and 63.
Wow.
And so I walked that last kilometer, but that was okay.
Now, your team is called the Cruising Buffaloes, and the goal for you alone was $5,000. Now, the team together raised $5,910.
Yeah, and there's still money coming in. So
amazing.
Yeah, so I'm really pleased. I didn't change my goal from last year. I should have. I meant to. I just forgot about it. And I thought, and I was really hoping for $1,000. That was it. I would have been happy with $1,000. And the money just kept coming in and kept coming in. And I thought, holy cow, this, and mostly from people in the Fort McMurray area.
Wow.
I have to admit, I've got a few friends on my Facebook who are in Hawaii, Lucky Ducks, and Nova Scotia, and parts in between, and all around the world. So there's, you know, I was getting sponsors from all around the world, really, but the majority of it came from Fort McMurray, and and even in amongst this, you know, COVID-19, the economic downturn, I really wasn't expecting as much as I got. I am so very grateful for all my friends out there and all the people who took an interest in this and who donated.
And if you are taking an interest in it right now and you'd like to help support, where can they do that?
mssociety.ca.
And where does the money go?
The money goes to the MS Society, and the MS Society funds research. They have kind of a 60-40 split with the money raised. So 60% goes towards research, 40% goes towards services for people with MS. And that's perhaps assisting them with air conditioning units for the summertime, or with certain activities like, you know, adaptive exercise programs, self-help groups. They have something called an MS Navigator, and you can go online and talk to somebody and do it online, or, you know, FaceTime. They have all these services out there, because even if we were to find a cure today for MS, there's still a whole bunch of people who are affected by MS who have permanent damage because of multiple sclerosis. And that's the big thing, is that, and that's the other reason why, if you are diagnosed today, you need to get on in treatment right away, because they're showing now, and I've been on the same drug for over 20 years now.
Wow.
And so that's testament to that drug, testament to my body. Amazingly, as poorly as I take care of it, it has still kept on going. I just, with all the junk food I eat, it still keeps on going. So, get yourself into treatment early, if possible. And if you're able to, I mean, there are some side effects for some of the treatments, but they're finding new and new stuff every day, every day. I have hope.
I love it. Let's end on that. I have hope. If you're looking to donate, that website again is mssociety.ca. Shauna, thank you so much for joining
me. Anytime. I can talk about this for days.
I love it. This has been Fort McMurray Matters. You can check us out on mix1037fm.com. We do a podcast every single day, so if you missed some of the episode or just want to hear it again, we'd love for you to look us up. Make sure you tune in every weekday at noon for another episode of Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.